Well, I mentioned earlier that Kevin Muldoon filled in for Tim and I last week, and today we return to the book of Genesis. Kevin brought a message from God's Word from the book of Exodus last week, but today we're back in Genesis, and where the story was, where we left off 2 weeks ago, we see that due to the famine in Egypt and really the whole region, Jacob had told Joseph's brothers to go down to Egypt to try to get some food, and Tim brought us through that very dramatic scene where Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, because after all, Joseph had been down there for many years. He had risen to a position of prominence, really was the prime minister of all of Egypt, and his brothers thought he was long gone. They had sold him into slavery years before. And here he revealed himself to them and said, "It's me, your brothers." And you would think that would be kind of the peak of the story, the climax of the story, because he said to them, after all, because they were thinking that he was going to be really upset and maybe would bring some retribution upon them or some revenge. But he said, "No, you don't understand. This was all God's plan to save lives." Because after all, it was Joseph who had interpreted these dreams of Pharaoh and correctly then told him that 7 years of abundance would come to Egypt, followed by 7 years of famine. So he, Joseph, instituted this plan where Pharaoh directed people in the whole country to store up grain, and they did this for 7 years, and now that the famine had hit, they had plenty of food, so others were now coming to them to try to get some food, including Joseph's brother. So it was a dramatic it's a bit of a climax to the story, but there's more to the story. Wait, there's more. So you'll notice then as we turn to chapter 45, and if you consider going back to the beginning of this part of the story, back to chapter 37, we see the very beginning of chapter 37, verse 2, the Bible tells us this is the account of Jacob, or this is the story of Jacob and his family. So we've really been focusing on Joseph. Joseph seems to be the main character in this part of the story for many, many chapters, chapters 37 through 50 to the end of the book. But really, remember, this is a story about Jacob and his family. Joseph's just one of his sons, and Joseph's brothers now are involved in this amazing story. So what about Jacob? Where's Jacob? Jacob is still back in Canaan. So Jacob's back in Canaan. His brothers go down. They have this big reunion with Joseph. And now, Pharaoh, the king, tells Joseph, "I tell you what, tell your brothers to go back to Canaan, and we'll give them a bunch of stuff. We'll give them plenty of supplies and get some animals for them. They tell them to go back to Canaan, get your father, Jacob, and come back down to Egypt." And he says an amazing thing. He says, "I will give them the best land of Egypt to settle there. The land of Goshen." We would call it the part of the Nile Delta. Place where they could irrigate crops very easily. The place where they could raise animals and raise their families and be prosperous. He says, "I will do that for you and your family. Go, tell them to go back, get Jacob, and come back down here." He also said, "Hey, tell them to take a bunch of carts, a bunch of wagons, and bring them up there with them so they can load everything, especially the women and children, so people don't have to trudge through the sand all the way, you know, and you can all come back here and settle here." So they did that. Joseph gave his brothers all these animals and these carts, these wagons, and they went back up into Egypt, or from Egypt, they left Egypt, went back up into the land of Canaan. And, of course, the big news was they came to Jacob, the dad, and said, "Joseph, your son, is alive. Joseph is alive." And guess what? He's in charge of all of Egypt. Now you would think, well, this might be the climax of the story. But wait, there's more. Jacob literally can't believe it. You know, we have this expression, "Oh, I can't believe it." Well, this was really what his reaction was. He literally could not believe that Joseph was still alive. He was just completely shocked. So Jacob then eventually becomes convinced, "All right, I guess it's true." And he says, "You know, I just have one wish. I want to go down to Egypt and just see my son, Joseph. Then I can die. I just want to see my son Joseph, and then my life will be complete, and I can die. So before we get into the details, would you pray with me as we look further into this story? Our Father, how we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the reformers who have gone before us, emphasizing that your word alone is our guide for life. So help us, Lord, to understand something from this story today that we can apply to our lives. As we are your people, the sheep of your pasture, we thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm a member of the local ministerial association. It's a really good group, really. We meet just once a month. We have lunch together, ministry leaders and pastors from all of the region. We meet at the Hilton Memorial Chapel just once a month. We have a lunch together, and sometimes we have a guest speaker, but we sing a few songs together. We pray for each other. We encourage each other. It's really a good organization. Years ago, I guess it was 7 or 8 years ago, the pastor who was serving as one of the presidents of the association, John Payton, he's the pastor of Reconciliation Community Church, great guy, former Black Panther, very dramatic testimony. He used to ask people in the association to come up every meeting and would introduce them by just taking 5 or 10 minutes and asking them a series of questions. And it was so interesting because most of us had known each other for many years, but we found that we really didn't know each other. So John would ask some very insightful questions. And the one question I remember the most was, he would ask this question. He would say to the person up front, "What is the one thing that you would like to see happen before you leave this earth? What is the one thing you would like to see before you checked out," as he put it? Well, if Jacob was a part of our ministerial association, there's no doubt what he would have said. He would have said, "I just want to see my son Joseph." Now, if they had asked Jacob that question before the brothers came back and told him, "Guess what? Joseph's alive." If they would have asked him before that event, I wonder if he still would have answered the same way. I wonder if he would have said, "I just want to know what happened. I just want to know what happened." Because, you see, Jacob didn't have any closure. Because what had happened, and we know this from the earlier parts of the story, that the brothers were so jealous of Joseph. They were so angry with him. He went out into the fields where they were looking after the sheep, and they had a plot. They made a plot. They said, "Let's kill him. Let's just kill him." But then one of the brothers convinced him, no, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him into this pit. So they threw him into this cistern, this sort of carved out underground hole that's used to keep water. And they threw him into the pit, into the cistern. And then they saw some Midianite traders come by, some Ishmaelites. And they said, "Hey, I know, let's sell him into slavery. Let's just sell him." So they sold him for 20 pieces of silver as a common slave. And off Joseph went, and they never saw him again until they were reunited down in Egypt. And they came up with this story that they told Jacob, their dad, about what happened to Joseph. Jacob had given Joseph this special coat, a robe, that some people call it the coat of many colors. And they made it for him, and he was the favorite son, and that brought on the jealousy and all that, and we know that from the previous parts of the story. But he had this special coat. So what they did was they got a goat, and they killed the goat, and then they dipped Jacob's robe, this special coat, in the blood of the goat, and then they went back home and presented this robe to Jacob and said, "Gee, Dad, I don't know what happened, you know. Is this Joseph's coat, his robe?" Oh, and Jacob was so upset, he jumped to the conclusion. He said, "My son has been torn to pieces by a wild animal." "Yeah, I guess so, Dad. This was all a big deception." And this then was the story that Jacob believed for many, many, many years. And now that he finds out Joseph is alive, and he says, "That's all I want before I die. I just want to see him before I die." Now, the summary I gave you earlier sort of putting the story in context, was all true. It was all accurate. I gave you just the facts. Just the facts, ma'am. Those of you who are around in the late 1960s, remember the TV show Dragnet. Sergeant Joe Friday. Just the facts, ma'am. Boy, the late 60s, that was a tough time for our country, wasn't it? We had Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, and Bobby Kennedy was assassinated, and we had riots in the streets and a lot of turmoil and anti-Vietnam demonstrations and all kinds of difficulties back then in the late 60s. But thankfully, we had a couple of good TV shows to get us through, you know, like Gilligan's Island and Dragnet. Sergeant Joe Friday. Just the facts, ma'am. Well, the Bible is so much more than just the facts. When we read these stories, we see more than just a factual chronology, more than just bullet points. So when I summarize what had happened, that was all true, but there's so much more to it. The emotions, the feelings that are expressed in the Bible are really what makes the stories interesting. Look at chapter 45, beginning in verse 16. When the report was heard in Pharaoh's house, Joseph's brothers have come, it pleased Pharaoh and his servants. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your beasts and go back to the land of Canaan and take your father and your households and come to me, and I will give you the best land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. Notice, the Bible says here that Pharaoh and his servants were pleased. They were happy about this. There was rejoicing in the palace on behalf of Joseph. They were pleased that the brothers had come down. And he says here, I'll give you the best of the land. Some translations put it this way, that you will enjoy, I'll give you the best land so that you will enjoy it. And then we see, as we read on in verse 20, have no concern, he says, have no concern for your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. He's saying, don't worry about your stuff. You're going to have plenty. Can you see the emotion and the feelings that are here in this story? It's more than just the facts. Can you imagine living through a famine? Oh, the stress and the strain and the anxiety and the worry about the kids and the grandkids. Well, that's what was happening to Joseph's family, to Jacob, back in Canaan. And the brothers came down there out of desperation to get some food. So Jacob, the grandfather, he's back there with all the women and kids and grandkids, and it was really getting tough. But look what happens here. Pharaoh says, hey, have them go back and come on down and I'll give you the best land that's available here. Verse 21, the sons of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the command of Pharaoh and gave them provisions for the journey. To each and all of them he gave a change of clothes. But to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 changes of clothes. To his father he sent as follows, 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with the grain, bread, and provision for his father on the journey. Now stop right there. Let me ask you this. If you were Joseph, and your brothers had come down, and now Pharaoh says, hey, this is great. Send them back. Have them bring the whole family down. I'll give you the best land. Everything's going great. What would be your words to your brothers as they left? What would you say to them? Would you say something like maybe, I'm really looking forward to seeing Dad. Bring him down here. Can't wait to see you guys again. Or would you maybe give him a little word of advice? You might say, watch out for the robbers along the way. Be careful. Watch out for the traffic. Who knows what you would say. But look what Joseph says, verse 24. Then he sent his brothers away, and as they departed, he said to them, do not quarrel on the way. What? Why would he say that? Because Joseph's family was a normal family. They argued. There was family drama. It wasn't just the facts. Don't quarrel on the way. I wonder if he was anticipating some of the conversation that would inevitably have to occur on the way back. You know, the big family secret, the big cover-up? They're going to go back and say, Joseph's alive. Jacob, they all know Jacob's just going to be in disbelief over this, and he's going to wonder, wait a second. For 20 years, you guys have told me that he was killed by a wild animal. You brought me his robe covered in blood. That's all going to come out now. And Joseph knew this had potential to just blow everything up and ruin the whole plan. Can you imagine that conversation between the brothers on the way back? Well, it was your idea. No, it wasn't. It was your idea. No. This is 20 years ago, so the memories were probably fading, and everybody's trying to blame everybody else, right? Don't quarrel on the way. Don't mess this up. You see, we know that this was all part of God's plan. Even the scheme, even getting thrown into the pit, even getting sold into slavery, this is all worked out by God's plan. And we know all through the Bible that God is a sovereign God. He is in control of all things, but we also know that he gives us freedom, and we make choices, and sometimes we make bad choices, and sometimes we do things we shouldn't do. We say things we shouldn't say, and there are consequences to those actions. So now some of these consequences, Joseph's just a little bit afraid this is all going to blow up. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 that God works all things in accordance with his good purpose. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the Apostle Paul says, all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. That's all true. But at the same time, we see time and time again, people take action, they make decisions, and there are consequences for those actions. God's sovereignty and our choices are both on display in the Bible. So this family secret is about to be revealed. By the way, not much good can come out of family secrets. But here we see much more than just the facts. So, they all go up to Canaan, all the brothers, with all this stuff that they had given them. And by the way, why did Pharaoh give them so much stuff? He gave them far more than they needed for the trip. Well, it was probably so that when they arrived up in Canaan and arrived and reunited with Jacob and the wives and kids and grandkids and everybody saw all this stuff, they're thinking, hey, things must be pretty good down there in Egypt. To just further convince them to go to bring all the family down and resettle down there. So they pulled into Canaan. And remember, some of this stuff was specifically for Jacob back in verse 23. To his father, he sent the following. 10 donkeys loaded with stuff, 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and all these other provisions. So they get up there and they tell Jacob, Joseph is alive. I wonder how they told him. Do you think they just blurted it out? One of them just said it. Or do they say, Dad, you better sit down. Or maybe they went back and said, Dad, remember how we brought you that robe of Joseph's covered in blood? The Bible doesn't say how they told him. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible gives us much more than just the facts. The Bible says that Joseph was stunned. Jacob was stunned. This translation, the English Standard Version that you might be looking at, says that his heart became numb. The King James Version says his heart fainted. He was completely shocked by this. He literally could not believe it. Now, if I was tasked with writing the end of this story, maybe if this was made into a movie and the producers came to me and said, Don, we want you to write the final scene of this movie now that, you know, the brothers have gone down to Egypt and there was a dramatic reunion and it was revealed who the brothers, who Joseph really was, and now they're going, now we gotta get everybody back together. We gotta bring Jacob back into the picture here. How would I write this? Well, I'd probably just be pretty straightforward about it, you know. I would just have maybe Joseph go up and have a happy reunion and then say, come on down to Egypt, and they go back. No, no, but that'd be too simple. That'd be just too linear, too boring. The Bible is so much more than just the facts. It's going to get complicated. So Jacob now, who's well over 100 years old, has to schlep it down to Egypt with wagons and camels and donkeys and trudging through the sand and all this. He's over 100 years old. He's not, we can surmise he's not really into traveling. You know, Nancy and I, we love to travel. And we really want to do this while we're younger, because we know that as you grow older, people just tend to not want to travel so much. It's just too much of a hassle. You know, they just don't want to do it. So imagine Jacob, over 100 years old, having to go all the way down into Egypt just so he can see his son. But of course, he wants to do this. So the beginning of chapter 46. Well, first, let me read the verse where we see back in chapter 45, verse 26, the words printed in your Bibles are this. They told him Joseph is still alive and he's ruler over all the land of Egypt, and his heart became numb, for he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said to them, and how when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Israel, remember, God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. This was his one thing he wanted to do. This was his one item bucket list. He just wants to see Joseph. So, verse 1, chapter 46. So, Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here I am. Then he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you up again, and Joseph's hand shall close your eyes. Wow. This dramatic vision that Jacob has of God himself. Notice what happens here. He comes to Beersheba. That's on the southern edge of the land of Canaan. So before he leaves the land of Canaan, he stops and he offers a sacrifice. Now, the land of Canaan was significant. Remember, Jacob's grandfather Abraham had been promised this land. The Lord had appeared to Abraham and said, Abram, go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. We see this back in chapter 12. And not only that, he also promised him this particular plot of land that we would call Canaan, or the promised land it's called. And now, Jacob, the grandson, he's starting to see the fulfillment of this promise, right? He has sons who have become the tribes of Israel, and they have grandchildren, and the family's growing, and it seems that maybe this promise is coming to fruition. Then the famine hits. What's up with that? And now the Lord is taking him out of the promised land. This doesn't make any sense. He says, go down into Egypt. And he's reminding him of his own heritage. When he says here, I am God, the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt. Why would he say that? Because he was scared. More drama. More than just the facts. He was afraid. He says, do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. Now, wait a minute. This promise that he would make, that God gave to grandfather Abraham, and it was passed on to Isaac, and it was passed on to Jacob, and his name was changed to Israel, and he had all these sons, and he's thinking, okay, finally this is going to come to fruition. And he says, no, go down, and there I will make you into a great nation. This is an unexpected twist. Nobody expected God to fulfill his promise to make them into a great nation in Egypt. It didn't make any sense. But that's what he says. There I will make you into a great nation. And then he says, verse 4, I myself will go down with you to Egypt. Some of the most comforting words in all of Scripture. I will be with you. And we see this elsewhere in Scripture as well, where the Lord tells his people, I will be with you. Imagine a little 4-year-old boy. He really wants to go trick-or-treating. Mom and dad are thinking, can we just ignore this stupid holiday? No, they couldn't just ignore it. So little Johnny wants to go trick-or-treating. So dad takes him down the street, and they come to the big house in the neighborhood, and it's dark, and it's scary looking. And oh, that little boy really wants the candy. He really wants to make that journey up the driveway and up the sidewalk and ring the doorbell and say, trick or treat. But he's so scared. And dad says, come on, I'll go with you. Well, that changes everything, doesn't it? The Lord said, I will go with you. In fact, the way these translators put it, I myself, verse 4, I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I will bring you up again. And then this interesting phrase, Joseph's hand shall close your eyes. What's he saying? He's saying that you will be able to see Joseph before you die. Joseph will be with you when you die. He himself will be with you. He will close your eyes. You will get a proper burial. Oh, Jacob must have been so excited about this. His one item bucket list was going to come true according to God himself. So, the whole family, Jacob's sons and daughters-in-law and all the grandkids, all made the journey down to Egypt using these wagons or carts that Pharaoh had provided. And can you imagine now the dramatic moment when they are all reunited? Can you just imagine that? It had been about 20 years since Jacob had seen his son Joseph. There'd been so many unexpected twists and turns in Joseph's life. And of course, Jacob had assumed his son was dead, but he never had closure. He didn't know for sure. So let's read on now. Skip down to verse 28 of chapter 46. Jacob, he had sent Judah ahead of him to show Joseph, to show the way before him in Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. Then Joseph prepared his chariot and went up to meet Israel, in his father, in Goshen. He presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Israel said to Joseph, now let me die, since I've seen your face and know that you are still alive. Can you imagine the drama? Wow, they're reunited. Verse 31, Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and tell Pharaoh and will say to him, my brothers and father's household who were in the land of Canaan have come to me. Finally, they're reunited. Finally, Jacob's bucket list of one item was complete. And his family was now in a safe place in this fertile land of Goshen, the best land of Egypt. And even though there was still a famine, they were going to get through it. They were going to raise crops and animals. And at least for now, they would continue to see how God was fulfilling his promise, raising up a nation right within a nation. The nation of Israel growing within the nation of Egypt. This was not what anyone had expected. A nation forming within another nation. It was quite unexpected. It was not normal. But you know, it's been said that normal is only a setting on the clothes dryer. This is such an unexpected turn of events. The way that God is choosing to fulfill his promise. the way that God is choosing to bless his people. Completely unexpected. So abnormal. I believe that each one of us, well, I'll just speak for myself and ask you, have you ever prayed this prayer that I've sometimes prayed? Lord, why can't I just have a normal life? Well, normal's only a setting on the clothes dryer, right? The drama, the ups and the downs, the twists and turns. That's life. And God will be with you through life. Picked up a brochure today on our information table in the back. It's provided by CareNet Pregnancy Resource Centers. The front of it says, you had plans. Getting pregnant wasn't one of them. Picture of a young girl on the front. The drama, the ups and the downs. The unexpected pregnancy. The infertility. The job change. The job loss. The marriage, the divorce, the happiness, the sadness and disappointment, the feast, the famine. This is life. It's not always fun. In fact, sometimes it's quite difficult. The unexpected twists and turns can be very painful, but God is with you. As I was studying and preparing for this message, I began to think about us as a congregation. And the unexpected twists and turns that almost everyone has had. Nobody's normal. Or nobody's got a normal life. It's just not the way life is. Our interpretation, our understanding of normal is not correct. If you're in a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, he will fulfill his promises to you. And he might do it in very unexpected ways. Just like we see here in this story. In fact, you have to understand that if you're in a relationship with God through Christ, you have a personal, deep, abiding relationship with him. You are one of his adopted children. And he will fulfill his promises in unexpected ways. In fact, let me put it this way. You should expect the unexpected with God. He will fulfill his promises and he will bless you in unexpected ways. That's what the Bible tells us. This story and other stories as well. Your life is probably not going with according to your plan, is it? Somebody once said that, you know, life is what happens in between our plans. If your life is not going according to your plan, you're in good company. At least you're in biblical company. That's what we see all through Scripture. That's what we see especially in this story. Joseph's life was not going to his according to his plan. He didn't plan this out. Jacob's life was not going according to his plan. Imagine if you were a fly on the wall when this was all happening. The weird twists and turns, the unexpected twists and turns. Joseph becoming prime minister of all of Egypt? What? That was unexpected. Pharaoh, the king. Not one of God's chosen people. A pagan king, all happy that his brothers showed up. What's up with that? Pharaoh then pledging to give Joseph and his family all this stuff, everything they needed to go up and get everybody and come on back down, and then giving them the best land. I wonder what the people in the palace thought about that. Hey, did you hear what Pharaoh did? He promised these Hebrews from Canaan the best land of all of Egypt. What's up with that? That was unexpected. And then God tells Jacob that his promise to make him into a great nation will be fulfilled down there in Egypt? Unexpected. And you too should expect God to fulfill his promises and bless you in unexpected ways. Jacob had this one thing on his bucket list. I just want to see my son before I die. Well, let me ask you, What is the one thing that you would like to see happen? And would you trust God to fulfill that, to bless you in that way, in an unexpected way? When John Payton would ask that question to other people in the group, of course, I would think of the answer myself, for myself. Two things came to mind. This was, again, 7 or 8 years ago. Our girls were both still in high school. And I think, you know, the one thing I would like to see happen would be that both of my daughters would grow up and become established as adults, whatever that might look like, married or not, or careers or whatever. That's just kind of one thing I really would like to see happen. Well, now both our girls are grown and through college, and that was kind of anticlimactic. But there was one other thing. There was one other thing that kept coming to mind. The one thing I would like to see before I left this earth. You know, I thought to myself, I would like to see Crossroads in its own home. Why? Is a building really that important? I mean, why didn't I say something like, I'd like to see revival in the land? Or something like that. But, you know, interesting, none of the ministers or ministry leaders said anything like that. It was all more individual, more personal stuff about their families or ministries. And that's just something that's been in the back of my mind for all these years. But I kind of put it out of my mind. Why? Well, I think it's because I tend to think more sequentially, logically. Just the facts, ma'am. But that's not life, is it? So I want to ask you, what is the one thing that you would like to see happen before the end of your life? And are you willing to trust God to bless you in that way, in an unexpected way? Because that's the God of the Bible. Normal really, truly is only a setting on the clothes dryer. We've all got things going on in life. We've all got difficulties. We've all got challenges. But God is with us. Would you pray with me? Our Father, how we thank you for your word and the unexpected twists and turns that we see through all these stories. Lord, we, like Jacob, sometimes just can't believe it. We're stunned. Our hearts are numb at some of the things that happened to us. But Lord, you are with us. We are your people, the sheep of your pasture. You love us beyond what we can even imagine. And oh, how we thank you for your son, Jesus, who himself came in a very unexpected way. And Lord, as we prepare, as we look ahead to the Christmas season, we are reminded that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. That was unexpected. Mary and Joseph had to take baby Jesus down to Egypt to escape the crazy King Herod. That was unexpected. And you had your son grow to be a man who was without sin, and then he was betrayed, and he died upon the cross. He was murdered. That was unexpected. So, Lord, how we thank you that you are the great God who blesses us in unexpected ways. We pray in your son's name. Amen.